This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2301. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded June 26th, Algeria, Antarctica, Canada, Chad, Cuba, Germany, India, Indonesia, Iran, Japan, Korea South, Kuwait, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Mexico, New Zealand, Nigeria, Somalia, Sweden, UK, USA, Vanuatu, unidentified 7000, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Algeria, Wolfgang Büschel notes, frequently change from Ifriqiya FM, apparently due to some over-the-rise and radar interference. It had been on 9500 between 03 and 06 UT, but on June 25th, they were on 9540 from the Beshar transmitter site. And between 05 and 06 UT, the other transmitter at Wargla was on 6040. Many of us were all set to listen to the annual midwinter special broadcast by BBC for people in the Antarctic Survey, Saturday, June 21st at 21:30. I listened via remotes in Brazil, 9575 via Ascension, and 12065 via Wolverton, UK were best. They were also on 5960 from the UAE. Checking the Kiwi SDR map for other remotes to try, I found one in the middle of the ocean between South Africa and Antarctica, but I could not find any land to go with it. It turned out that the coordinates were wrong. They placed it at 53 degrees south latitude, while it was really north in Germany. This year, unusually, it included not only messages from family members, but from King Charles about the middle of the program. There were several recordings of it available, both from BBC and from monitoring off the air. In fact, three different versions, depending on their length. There is a podcast version lasting 38 minutes. Once again, we have some previews of upcoming programs on specific dates, which, unless you're listening to one of our earliest airings, might be passed by the time you hear this. If you can, try to hear us on Friday. The first shortwave broadcast is at 13 UT on WRMI 15770. And of course, we are available via our website and podcasts from early on UT Fridays. Tony Pavick in Hope, BC of Pop Shop Radio says, get ready for our big Canada Day celebrations. Two different shows. The first will be 250 kilowatts from Wolverton, UK at 0300 UT July 1st, beamed to North America on 11960. The second, 24 hours later, at 0300 UT July 2nd, also at 11960, but this one in DRM. He says, I want a proof of concept showcasing DRM, because many people have SDRs capable of DRM or web access to Kiwis. We want to give it a go. Reception reports will receive a special physical QSL card and a small gift for the first 25. Further broadcasts of the two Canada Day specials via Channel 292 in Germany are on July 2nd at 16 and again at 17 UT on 3955 and 9670. Chad Nan, Target Broadcast Radio and Darassan International, has reduced its shortwave usage from 6 hours a day until 3, according to info from the station Jean-Michel Aubier received on June 10th, at 05 to 07 and 18 to 19 UT. However, on the 23rd, there were still more frequencies and times registered with HFCC, but at those hours, the only one at 05 should be 9540 via Wolverton, and at 18 to 19, 15420 via Wolverton, no longer heard on 12050 via Ascension. Also at 06 to 07, Wolverton is scheduled on 15505. However, Alex Miatlikov in Ukraine says he was still hearing 12050 on the air from Wolverton at 19 to 21 UT, but instead of Ndarasan, playing the Encompass tune. Many of us have heard a carrier on 1141 kHz, believed to be from Cuba, but no modulation. Now an IRCA, Vince Cavaceno in Mashpee, Massachusetts, says he did hear an ID, Radio Cadena Agramonte in Callaway, June 16th at 0400. That station is not listed on 1140, but reported in the past on 910 and 1180. A station on the move. Via Mike Terry, a story from WLRN Public Radio in Miami, June 21st, says Kerry Lake has dismissed reports that the Office of Cuba Broadcasting and its outlets online and on the air, Radio and TV Marti, would fire its staff. She said the staff would remain, the agency continuing to transmit news into Cuba from its studio in Marathon in the Florida Keys. Well, of course, it's not the studio in Marathon, just the transmitter. 1180 kHz. Bill Tofford replies, OCB was where they tried, among other things, broadcasting DRM to an island that has no such receivers. Did someone take gratuities? Or are they going to start broadcasting, don't come here, we'll only send you back? A broader Pan-American service in Spanish and Portuguese would be part of a healthy VOA version 2.0. But OCB is at best a vanity project, unless it's where the government is stashing intelligence employees, or Cuba doing it either. I'm Terry Colvin, the Texas Radio Shortwave schedule for July, music of Albert Collins, via shortwave radio in Germany, Friday, July 4th at 19 UT on 6160. And the following week on the 9th at 20 UT on 3975 and 6160. On Saturday, July 5th, via Channel 292 at 12 UT on 9670 to Europe, and at 23 UT on 9670 to North America. In DX India, Joe's Jacob says, congratulations to Mr. Sunil Bhatia, who's taken over as Deputy Director General at Spectrum Management and Synergy Division at Akashvani headquarters in New Delhi. He's an old friend of DXers. It'll surely be exciting for the community to have someone with that kind of experience in the role. He shall be issuing QSLs through the email address spectrum-manager@prasarbharati.gov.in. That's P-R-A-S-A-R-B-H-A-R-A-T-I. And his name is spelled S-U-N-I-L-B-H-A-T-I-A. Ron Howard continues to note the wide variety of closing times of RRI Nabire Indonesia on 7289.93, which he hears direct at Asilomar State Beach, California. On June 24th, he heard it from 0805 until off at 0857. On the 21st, it was 0835 till suddenly off at 1010 UT. Via David Cole and Mike Cooper, an editorial from the Wall Street Journal, June 20th, headlined, A Bad Time to Stifle Radio Free Iran, Kerry Lake is slashing Radio Farda when it is needed most. Well, at least they got it right that it's part of RFE rather than VOA, but it's not really called Radio Free Iran. In any event, already on June 20th, it did not take long for a new Radio Farda schedule to appear in HFCC covering 24 hours. Not from Kuwait, but from the UAE site and from Wolverton, UK. It's first spotted by Jean-Michel Aubier. Here it is in time order. 23-04 UT, 9620 Wolverton. 04-07, 12035 UAE. 07-10, 13710 from UAE. 10-13, 15720 UAE. 13-17, 12035 UAE. 17-19, 9450 UAE. And from 19-23, 12035 via Wolverton, UK. Those two Wolverton frequencies come in surprisingly well over here in North America, even though they're way off in the other direction. The UAE frequencies are, as usual, offset slightly. Via remotes, I found them on 12034.986 and 9449.989. From further monitoring, it seems that Radio Farda is mostly playing music, including U.S. songs in English, except for news on the hour, that's half hour in our terms, but not even that overnight. Kuwait might have been the preferred shortwave site if Trump had not forced it to close, or almost. The Association for International Broadcasting reported on June 23rd, the relay station in Kuwait that was closed down in early June has been reactivated to allow 15 minutes of VOA, Sikh, Persian, to be broadcast to Iran and neighboring countries. It's unclear who is operating the station. As we understand, a manager had been sent to Kuwait, presumably from Washington, to close it down. I replied, "Why bother for 15 minutes? What are the time and frequency? What is the source of this? We still don't know if that's really correct." One of the transmissions which have been confirmed, we wonder, originating from what studio, Washington, Prague, or wherever. Anyhow, it's not just on shortwave. AIB says, as fighting began, Iranians surged to Radio Farda for news and info. On Friday, 13 June, their extremely popular Instagram profile attracted 62.5 mega video views, a spike of 344%. Traffic to its website rose by 77% compared to its 30-day average. Bill Tilford comments, "I'm writing this after reading that U.S. bombs have been dropped on Iran. I have long believed that in its day a robust shortwave environment helped keep the Cold War from descending into World War III by humanizing peoples that would otherwise be portrayed as cartoon characters." Akahito Akabayashi in Japan forwards news from that country that the expanded FM band has been open to broadcasters since May 19th, that is, 95 to 99 megahertz. It was originally only 76 to 90 megahertz, with 90 to 95 open to community broadcasting stations, temporary disaster broadcasting, FM supplementary of AM stations, but 95 to 99 will also be open to NHK and commercial prefectural FM stations. In response to shortage of frequencies when converting from AM to FM, usage of the remaining 99 to 108 megahertz band will be considered later. What's the frequency, Glenneth? Last week I neglected to mention the new frequency for JSR, Shokase or Seabreeze, about North Korean abductions. It's 6040 at 13 to 14 UT, English only on Wednesdays. Thanks to Ron Howard for that info. Ron also reports he's glad to be hearing a program he used to hear years ago from KBS Hanminjuk Bangsongwon in South Korea, 6015. The scheduling for the program is now at 18 to 19 UT, when it can only be heard via a remote such as the one in Irkutsk, Russia. Thursday, June 19th. It's called Pops Freedom, and they play lots of American pop songs in English. But there is considerable jamming from North Korea. Kai Ludwig also has doubts that the Kuwait relay site has been reactivated at all. He says it was the uplink for the Hotbird Transponder 76. It went dark on June 3rd, meaning that VOA 365, revived a mere 10 days later, has no satellite distribution anymore. Do those who put together this farce of White House videos with clumsy Farsi voiceover even know that? Probably not. Radio Farda is a completely different story, booked directly by RFERL from Encompass Digital Media, obviously without involving the now hostile US AGM in any way. About what's being carried by Lithuania on 1386 kHz, Chris Greenway says, "I understand BBC World Service is at 20 to 21 UT and a mix of English and Russian. But Mauno Riddle in Finland says, I haven't yet heard Russian, except for the opening announcement at 18:30. Mike Terry forwards a story from Lux Times. The Department of Media, Connectivity, and Digital Policy of Luxembourg confirmed that it selected which 12 radio stations will join the initial DAB Plus digital radio rollout in the country. Broadcasts will begin within 6 months, 5 years after the idea was first announced. The DAB Plus system is expected to work alongside FM, but there is little bandwidth available to add more FM stations. All cars sold across the EU have been required to have DAB Plus compatible radios since 2020. In 2017, Norway became the first country to start turning off FM radio broadcasts. I've been hearing a Heterodyne above WJR 760 Detroit. June 16th at 0625 and June 23rd at 0227. According to IRCA and to medium wave offsets, It is XEDGO in Durango, Durango, on 760.125. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World Radio 2301. Our thanks this week for financial support from William Hassig in Mount Prospect, Illinois, who sent a check marking the summer solstice to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One of our best chances to hear BBC World Service in English in North America is the relay via New Zealand, of all things, and not intended for us either, at 06UT on both 9700 and 11725, contrary to their own schedule showing only one frequency. But the strange thing is, it starts up to 4 minutes and 17 seconds late, judging from the top-of-the-hour time pip as monitored by Tony Pavick, NBC. Why is this happening? And I've noticed they also cut out of BBC rather abruptly around 0629 to resume RNZ relays. Chris Mackerel says it might be to allow partner stations in the islands to insert their own news bulletins before the beep. Via Alokesh Gupta, an announcement on the Voice of Nigeria website says, the Director General has announced a strategic plan to reposition the station as a leading continental broadcaster, beginning with reactivation of its rotating antenna to enhance broadcast coverage across Africa, including reactivating DRM, adding 3 new languages, Chinese, Mandarin, Bahasa, Indonesia, and Portuguese, bringing the total to 11 languages. Well, that strikes me as imaginary. 8 languages already. They've been completely off shortwave for several years. The last usable frequency was 7255 on an irregular basis, which we used to hear well when it came on around 06UT. And this plan has met with considerable skepticism by the shortwave listening community, especially Wolfgang Büschel, who notes the sad state of their equipment. Kai Ludwig says, for months, if not years, before the complete breakdown, it was just silence that was encoded on the DRM transmission 15120. Somalianon, via Mike Cooper, BBC Monitoring reports, Al-Shabaab's Kalamata website, believed to be the militant group's main webpage, published a report celebrating the closure of VOA's Somali service. It said it had been one of the services specifically focused on tainting the image of the jihad currently taking place in East Africa. The closure meant an end to the lies and propaganda it had been broadcasting for a very long time. SAQ, the VLF station in Sweden on 17.2 kHz, plans another special broadcast on Wednesday, July 2nd. And it is very special. It's the 100th anniversary of the station. Read all about it on their website. They invite people to visit the station in person. And there will be a YouTube broadcast starting 40 minutes before the actual transmission on the air, which will be twice, at 09 and at 13UT. And their ham station will be active on several frequencies, SK6SAQ. Thanks to Mike Terry for forwarding this info. You can read all about it at www.alexander.n.se. From BroadbandTVNews.com, June 26th, via Kim Elliott. BBC Studios has launched the first phase of a pay model for visitors to the U.S. version of its website, costing $1 a week or $50 a year. Unlimited access to BBC News articles, feature stories, and 24/7 live stream of BBC News. However, visitors who choose not to pay will still have access to select global breaking news stories, BBC Radio 4 and World Service Radio live streams, BBC WS languages sites, and a variety of free newsletters and podcasts. From Financial Times via Mike Cooper, BBC is threatening legal action against artificial intelligence search engine Perplexity in its first effort to clamp down on tech groups scraping its vast troves of content to develop the cutting-edge technology. It could seek an injunction unless the San Francisco-based company ceases scraping all BBC content. Chris Greenway has put together a lengthy history of BBC on long wave on his website, which is named for another subject it covers, among others. It is radioatlanticodelsur.blogspot.com. Saul Brody, W3WHK, tells us about the 13 Colonies special event. For years, he's been one of the operators for WM3PEN, representing the city of Philadelphia. The STL world might be interested in logging the 16 stations participating in the 13 Colonies event and sending for certificate or QSL cards. The event runs from 13 UT 1 July until 04 UT on 8 July. One station operating in each of the 13 original colonies, call signs K2A to K2M, and three bonus stations, WM3PEN Philadelphia, GB13COL in England, TM13COL in France. Complete info is at the website 13colonies.us. Once again, there's been a huge amount of press about the situation at the Voice of America and USAGM. I can only mention a few major points, but members of the World of Radio Indian Ocean Group have access to the entire stories, such as the New York Times of June 20th via Mike Cooper. Hundreds of federal workers at VOA receive layoff notices, more than 600, reducing them to less than 200 remaining. Another source says the move eliminates 1,400 jobs at the U.S. Agency for Global Media, roughly an 85% cut to the workforce. The last day on payroll for employees will be Labor Day. Patsy Widas Kuswara, VOA's White House bureau chief, who is suing the administration, alongside VOA Press Freedom editor Jessica Jarit and USAGM Director of Strategy and Performance Assessment, Kate Nieper, is calling on Congress to intervene. In the Washington Post, June 23rd, West District Judge Royce Lamberth scolded the government for not complying with his preliminary injunction from April. He limited the paucity of info provided by the administration about how it is complying with the statutory obligations for running VOA and USAGM, as ordered in an April injunction. He asked the Assistant U.S. Attorney representing the government, Brenda Gonzalez Horowitz, why he should not start a contempt trial for violating his injunction. As we mentioned before, some journalists were brought back, abruptly, to resume Radio Farda in Persian. But Patsy said, the idea that the government would bring back journalists on an ad hoc basis was preposterous. That's like calling in a meteorologist when it rains. Thanks also to David Cole for that story and for this one from Politico, June 20th. Headlined, Majority of Staff Axed at VOA. Then on June 25th, in the morning, there was a hearing by the House Committee on Foreign Affairs called Spies, Lies, and Mismanagement, examining the U.S. Agency for Global Media's downfall. Carrie Lake was the only witness. Her prepared testimony came out in advance, and that gave Save VOA a chance to refute it. Side by side, look at that, savevoa.com, fact-checking Carrie Lake at the House Committee. As Kim Elliott points out, the entire session is available on C-SPAN, lasting more than 3 hours, and at the committee website. Her bottom line was scrap the whole thing and start over. Via David Cole and Mike Cooper, New York Times story, June 25th, headlines, Trump urges Congress to kill Voice of America as its leader defends gutting it. These comments from John Filiozzi. Here is the truth unvarnished. The administration and its party are so far to the right that, of course, anything to the left of them looks to them like left-wing propaganda. Hence Trump and Lake's characterization of what, to an objective observer, is simply mostly responsible journalism, practiced by VOA and USAGM outlets. Trump and his acolytes have gotten away for too long with accusing their opposition of doing what they themselves already are doing. The real fake news is Fox News, the administration's unofficial, official news agency that never contradicts him. But Trump calls everything that's not Fox fake, up is down, in is out. It's no accident that Carrie Lake, a failed journalist and twice failed political candidate, who lies like the Niagara Falls spills water, is the spokesmodel of this effort to destroy U.S. international broadcasting. She cannot fathom the wonder planted in the minds of listeners suffering under tyrannical government that someone can expose a leader's mendacity or just publicly disagree with him or her and not end up tortured, killed, or imprisoned. That's how VOA demonstrates American exceptionalism. Trump and Lake would rather it bend the knee. That's what this is all about. The FCC website finally has a current frequency list for private U.S. stations, including WJHR, on 15555. That's in Northwest Florida, with 50 kilowatts. If you have trouble hearing it, as I do, that may be because it's only a 250-watt transmitter run at 1 kilowatt PEP, according to WRDH. Around midday, June 26, just before I had to record this World of Radio, I was enjoying a huge sporadic EFMDX opening from the northwest of here. Lots of stations, at least from Utah, Nevada, Montana, Washington, and Saskatchewan. Continued to hear Radio Vanuatu on 9960. I listen after 06UT. Ron Howard also hears it via remotes in New Zealand. He says lately there's been lots of segments about elections coming up on July 8th. Also on June 24th after 2025 UT, Ron says he heard an amazing segment reminding citizens they need a government permit to sell the Vanuatu national flag or even a likeness of it. This is due to the Armorial Bearings Act, a permit requirement mandating anyone wanting to sell or display the Vanuatu flag or anything resembling it must obtain a permit from the Minister of Internal Affairs and pay a fee. Failure to obtain the necessary permit can result in a fine of 500,000 vatu, an unidentified open carrier on exactly 7,000 kilohertz, has been attracting a lot of attention, first reported by Dave Phillips, and then monitored by Rick Barton, Walt Salmoni, myself, and many others. We never hear anything on the carrier, not to be confused with another one heard by Europeans, which does have some modulation. Dave Phillips says this has to be a data station of some sort, with a mystery coding scheme, probably of U.S. origin, likely an intruder in our 40-meter band. Alan Rowe reminds us of a new edition of his music programs on shortwave, and at the same website, at-a-glance program grids for BBC, Turkey, China, Romania, and Taiwan at tinyearl.com/shortwaveprograms. And Bruce Porter says there's a new edition of his Pacific Asian log at radioheritage.com. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued June 23rd, ANKNSE's 25 and 5 on June 26th, but no higher than 15 and 4 for all the days to follow until July 19th. Quietest dates of only 5 and 2, June 30th, July 4th and 10th. Solar flux rising from 135 June 27th to a peak of 155 July 6th, 8th and 9th, and down to 130 by July 19th. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors, hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2301 with a standard disclaimer.